702
on 92.7
and 106 FM.
Streaming on 702.co.za, the 702 app, and on DSTV channel 856.
Coming up to 8 minutes past 6 o'clock. Good evening from me, Ray White, in for Bruce on The Money Show, the Friday edition. So coming up in your program this evening, sort of a lighter show. That's a good thing about The Money Show on a Friday. Taking a look, though, at how the markets closed, and I do say the lighter show, but the Rand today coming under a little bit of pressure. We did so well, the Rand, breaking through that 14 Rand to the dollar mark, but we've sort of been sliding a little bit the other way now. And then the best bits of The Money Show a little bit later on. And you need to listen to that because thereafter is the Brutal Biz Quiz. And it's just for fun this evening. But crowning the king or the queen of The Money Show for the week. And I'd like to hear from you on that one because we've got some brutal questions. And my dare to you tonight is that I will stump you. There'll be no king or queen of The Money Show this evening. In the meantime, though, I'd like to hear from you. You can give me a call, 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567. You can also SMS 31702 or 31567.
702
for the curious
on 92.7 and 106 FM.
So it's Friday and you're probably wondering what to do with your evening or maybe the next 2 days, where to spend your money and get the best value and experience. I mean, I think that's the big thing. Remember, local is lacquer, and I think that's what you will be looking at in the next 15 minutes. A research report has identified and named South Africa's 12 most loved local businesses and places the spotlights on the vital role that commercial businesses play in the South African economy. Now, the report was commissioned by Santam and the research conducted by a respected independent research house called Worldwide Works. I'm sure you know them. We've spoken to them quite a bit on this program and also others as well. Now, the aim of the Most Loved Local Reports was to celebrate those businesses South Africans love the most and to investigate exactly what makes consumers big fans of these entities. And think about it. Do you have that special place that you go to on a weekend? It might be a steakhouse. It might be a spa or something like that where you go over the weekend and you pay money and you don't mind paying that money because, let's be honest about it, it's worth it. Well, there's been this survey and they found the top 12 places. Earlier on, I spoke to Arthur Goldstuck, MD of Worldwide Works, and I did ask him, how, Arthur, did you gather the information for South Africa's 12 most loved local businesses then?
First, what Santam did was they used social media to get a sense of which local brands people were talking about. And they compiled that over a period of time. And then we used a fascinating combination of tools to run research amongst consumers in various centers. So, for example, we used SMS databases to contact consumers, and we had a high sample of consumers that we contacted and then directed them to a Facebook Messenger survey bot. So we used a software bot, in effect, to run the questionnaire over Facebook Messenger. And why we chose that route is that Facebook Messenger is the most widely available tool for South Africans to respond to something like this without incurring costs. So with SMS, every single message you send and receive is a cost involved. With Facebook Messenger, especially if you're with one of the operators that has zero-rated the light version of the app, there's absolutely no cost. And even if you're using the version that's not zero-rated, it's a very low data overhead. So we have found that to be the most efficient way to conduct research in South Africa among consumers.
Right, that's very interesting. All right, so take us through some of the 12. I mean, it's quite a spread from hotels to fitness.
So each of the establishments was essentially voted for by people living in that area. But what we did is looked at the proportion of people living, for example, in Cape Town who voted for their favorite establishments, so the proportion of people living in Johannesburg who voted for their favorites. So it wasn't who got the highest number of votes, but who got the highest proportional vote in their area. And that was particularly interesting because Johannesburg had quite a few of the most popular establishments, but then you saw them also spread out across the country. So the most popular place to stay was Chapman's Peak Hotel in Cape Town. But my suspicion is people weren't just waiting for a place to stay, but also a place to go and eat. So what a hotel serves is as important as how hospitable it is.
Yeah. Arthur, I mean, the Chapman's Peak Hotel, it's divine because it's right at the foot of Chapman's Peak. They've got those fireplaces, and if it's sort of cold and rainy in Cape Town, you go inside there. The ambiance is absolutely brilliant. Is that maybe one of the attractive features? It's not just about what you can eat, but it's actually about the place.
You're absolutely correct. It's very much the ambiance, and it's a range of factors exactly like that. It talks about an understanding of what the locals want out of a place, but also what they get out of a place. And you couldn't, for example, have a foreign tourist voting for a Chapman's Peak Hotel in the same way that someone who lives in Cape Town and knows what it has to offer is going to say about it. Same with the Johannesburg establishments that one typically, someone from another place wouldn't know what the appeal is of going there regularly, because you're not talking about a one-off visit. So it's certainly not a tourist-type vote. We're talking about the people who go back time and again. I think one of the great examples is the favorite bakery in South Africa is Fudnos in Johannesburg. And everyone knows when they go to Fudnos, they're going to get not just fresh confectionery, but a great attitude and a great vibe as well. And it's both a bakery and a coffee shop, for example. And that's what brings people back, keeps them loyal, is a combination of what it has to offer and the way in which it treats people. Mm. And I think that tends to be common across almost all of these establishments across the country.
So quality, service, price, but I think service is the big one. I mean, us as South Africans, we complain about bad service so often. Are some businesses maybe getting the message now, Arthur, and thinking to themselves, if I give better service, people are going to come back?
My suspicion is that those that don't get it eventually go out of business. So we ask people, what's the key factor that makes a business your local favorite? And good service stood out so far above everything else that it baffles me that there are establishments that don't focus on service. So 40% of respondents chose that as the number one factor, which is really high. When you look at number two being quality products, that was only 18%. So good service is twice as important as quality products. And then value for money was third, but again, half as important as quality products. So 10% said value for money. So good service is four times as important as value for money when it comes to choosing it as your favorite business. And when you ask what put you off a business, it was very similar. There you had bad service being 37%, poor quality products 17%, and then unfriendly staff popping up a little bit more at 12%. So all of these factors are important, both in why people love a business and why they hate a business.
You spoke about Fudnos. You also spoke about the Chapman's Peak Hotel. Take us through some of the other ones that really stood out for you.
The favorite restaurant was Marble in Johannesburg, and if you've eaten there, you'll know that the kitchen is almost an open kitchen, and you can see the chef at work, and they're one of the top chefs in South Africa working that kitchen. So it's very unusual and special to be able to watch a legendary chef at work, and I think that's what won it for Marble. The favorite butchery was the Butcher Man in Cape Town. So, again, you're seeing this split between Cape Town and Johannesburg, and someone described that as the one that people cross town for. So a place that everyone knows and they'll go the extra mile to get there is really important. Just as it's important for the establishment to go the extra mile for their customers, people will go the extra mile for the establishment.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, carry on.
The favorite market place was the Bryanston Organic and Natural Market in Johannesburg. And I think one of the reasons that people love it is that it's been around for so long. And when it started out, it wasn't a trendy kind of offering. So they almost pioneered it, and people have remained loyal to them. So that's a whole different element to why something is people's favorite.
Yeah. Looking at that loyalty, I mean, are South Africans now shopping local? They've got off this international kick. Or do they just see Starbucks and think, well, it's Starbucks, it must be great, let's go there, it's Saturday?
There are people who fall for the big brand or who stick to the big brand because, generally speaking, they know they can trust the big brand. But the moment you've established a relationship with an establishment and with the people who work there and the people who run it, it's a no-brainer to keep going back to that place. But again, it comes back to service. If a Starbucks gives you good service, that's going to be your favorite local. We kept away from national brands in this survey because we didn't want people to vote for a local, let's say a local Starbucks, because they had a good experience at Starbucks in New York, for example.
Yeah.
So that would have skewed it, and people would have given a completely wrong answer. But when it comes to asking people about loyalty, because that was a specific question, what keeps you loyal? Funny enough, service fell a bit and quality products went up a bit. So over time, people do want quality as a key ingredient. And there, service and quality go hand in hand. So good service was 29%. Quality products was 24% of people choosing that as their number one. But number three wasn't value for money, which you would expect. Number three was friendly and helpful staff.
Okay.
So it's not just a good service,
yeah,
but the sense that the staff really are looking after you and they're almost your friends.
Mm.
So when you feel that you're dealing with a friendly establishment, you want to almost reward them for that.
Yeah, so converting clients into fans, I think that's the bottom line.
Exactly, exactly. And you become a fan when you feel that this is somewhere different. This is a place that treats you almost like family.
Arthur Goldstuck, MD of Worldwide Works. Great to have you on The Money Show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ray.
The Money Show.
The Markets.
Before we get to the markets, a few SMSs coming through saying, Ray, could you please list those brands? Not a problem. I've just done that on @RayWhiteSA. Go and have a look. And one SMS says, Ray, why are you giving them so much of a mention? Well, there's a reason why we are mentioning them, because they're winning brands. It's what you and me and others like. That's the reason why. And it's not always about money and exposure. Maybe it's when you do well, you just do well. Well, speaking of doing well, or maybe not so much, our market commentator tonight is Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. Hi, Nick. Good evening.
Good evening, Ray.
Right, emerging market currencies losing some ground today. It's good to see the Rand slide under 14, but it went a bit the other way today.
Yeah, just generally briefly. So, I mean, 2 days out of five, we'll kind of take it. It was nice while it lasted. But very much yesterday was an interesting day. We had a lot of Rand demand. We had our government bond sliding under 8%, showing that there's a lot of maybe some foreign buyers coming in, and it was a bit of more of a good story. And today I wouldn't take too much heart into it. I think it was more of dollar strength. We had some CPI numbers, inflationary numbers coming out of America, which were just a sniff on the inflationary side. So the dollar got above a bit, and the Rand popped above 14. But it's not all doom and gloom.
Right. Doom and gloom, speaking of which, Steinhoff. I mean, today losing 400 million Rand, but profit from sales sort of a little bit up. And I love the share price. That just gets boosted. It's like, oh, look, there's some sunshine there.
Yeah, 13.87% of hope, I think I quoted to someone.
Yeah.
It's a rather difficult one to digest, because there's so many moving parts of the story, and they tend to be filtering through the sort of news as it comes. I mean, it's obviously they've been having this audit for so long. We haven't even seen the latest audited accounts. But if you strip it away, underneath this business, or underneath this group, so it is actually a business. I mean, it's turning over revenue. We forget it's got 100,000 employees in it, and they're selling their stuff and going about it. But their debt pile and their, and we spoke off air, I mean, 87 million euros spent on consultants and fees and auditors. You just wonder if they can climb out of this hole. You really do.
But Nick, why not just close the doors then? Because think about it, 400 million in losses. I mean, that's a lot.
It's a lot. And it's a lot of mattresses you have to sell. But I mean, I'm being sarcastic. But I don't think they can. I mean, I think there's so many vested interests, whether it's class actions, lawsuits, shareholders, bondholders, that they need to see this to survive is better than watching it go under. Because if you're an ordinary shareholder sitting in South Africa and the PRC and the like who are sitting with chunks of these shares, you're right at the bottom of this queue and you're very unlikely to get a cent on the dollar or anything else like that. So I think they have to keep it going. I think the next best thing they can do is maybe get some sort of a debt freeze. But I mean, it's got to be a very highly speculative share at the moment.
Yeah. Looking at the markets, movers and shakers today, a little bit of a mixed bag, up and down and all around.
Yeah, mixed bag. I mean, we're, you know, top 40.0% going nowhere on the day. There were movers and shakers. There were a few things. We had some earnings out from Pumalela Gaming. Didn't come out great. Nothing we didn't expect. They got no dividend coming for those shareholders. Woolies carrying on with its run out of yesterday. So it was quite mixed. Gold shares under a bit of pressure, as we said, after that dollar strengthening that, you know, obviously knocked the gold a little bit and not the gold shares. But overall, I mean, I guess what sums up this entire day, I mean, 12.7 billion rand value traded. I mean, you didn't even used to get that over Christmas time.
Yeah.
So volumes are very, very thin.
Gold miners down today, I noticed them. I think Anglo Gold down about 3%. I suppose one's up, one's down.
Yeah, Anglo Gold, Harmonies as well, and a few others thrown into the pot, being a little bit of pressure. But I must say, the likes of Anglo Gold, I mean, that share is pretty much doubled in the last 12 months. So giving back a couple of percent today is not the end of the world, but again, very thin volumes, and I'd be cautious reading too much into these moves today.
US interest rates, that's been driving this whole week. I mean, it's going to happen. They're going to cut them at some point.
They're going to cut them. If not, Trump's going to force them to cut them, and he's going to wheel and Draghi if we believe the conspiracy theorists. No, but interesting enough, Ray, yesterday was a huge move in the US 10-year bond. It moved 8 basis points. So it moved from, it's been under 2%, which has been this line in the sand that everyone's talking about. It moved to, it tried to have a 30-year auction yesterday. Couldn't get away with their bonds. Went out to, I think, 2.08, 2.09%. A big, big move. All to do with US interest rates. So right now we're very much leaning, 80% of the market is speculating that US rates are going to be cut 0.25% at the end of this month. And about 20% are saying it's going to be as much as 0.5%. So the whole world is watching what is happening with these interest rates. And right now it's very divided. It really is.
But it's been very divided because the Fed at one point, we are going to cut, then we're not, we're going to do this and that. It's up and down and it's quite confusing actually.
Quite confusing, and there's all sorts of lovely memes doing the rounds if you want to go onto the internet, you know, the Fed flip-flop and all sorts of things that have been talking about because at some point, and this is what I guess concerns a lot of investors, we're near the end of the cycle. We're near 10 years of this bull run. It's been, you know, it's been a good run, and in fact, it's been the longest bull market on history. It's coming to an end. We can see that with a lot of the world GDP numbers slowing down. At some point, they need to get interest rates back up because as the world is slowing, you want to have a little bit of a cushion.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, you know, interest rates sitting where they are in the US, there's no cushion there. They didn't want to be in this position. I think a year ago, they'd like to have seen rates anywhere 3%, 4%, 5%. We're heading into 2019, 2020, the end of a cycle, extra cut some rates. Right now, I think they're running out of options, and I think it's very concerning for a lot of market watchers.
Right, so that's the US. Now, China, Monday, figures coming out.
China, 4 o'clock, those who want to wake up. GDP GDP numbers on Friday, that's the big data point for next week. We had some GDP numbers out of Singapore, obviously in the same sort of region, big trading hub. Came in shockingly light. They're looking for 0.1%, came in at -3.4%, but similar to what we've experienced in South Africa. So once again, another indication that the world is slowing. China being the second biggest economy in the world, and of course, right front and center of the story with Donald Trump and the Chinese-US trade wars, that number is a very important data point for market watchers.
Now, speaking of coming home, maybe, Lesetja Ganyahu. He was reappointed for another 5-year term. We saw the PIC interim board, Maria Ramos there as well. I think the EFF must have driven their cars off the road.
No, I think it was their worst nightmares come true. I think it was an excellent recommendation. He's one of the most highly rated central bankers in the world, and anyone you speak to on industry cannot talk highly enough about the gentleman. And a gentleman, I mean that in capital letters. And I think, you know, it almost reiterates, everyone's been wondering where Mr. Ramaphosa's been, and, you know, all this shouting that's going on in the background of the EFF. And this is quite a nice little subtle statement to say from the presidency, listen, I'm still in charge here.
Yeah.
This Reserve Bank is staying independent. This man has done a great job. He's got another 5 years. And in fact, not only he's got another 5 years, we're going to throw in a couple of capitalists on the board too, just to make matters worse. But I think that was probably worth 10, 15 cents on the rand as well.
Yeah, I think you're quite right. Nick Kunza from Sanlam Private Wealth. Great to have you on The Money Show. Thank you.
Thank you.
702 for the curious on 92.7 and 106 FM.
Right, we will keep an eye on the tennis for you at the moment. It's Nadal serving 30-15, and it's one set to love, that's to Federer. So keeping an eye on the money show, on the sport as well. But now you need to pay attention, because we've got the Brutal Biz Quiz coming up shortly, and now it's the best bits of the money show. So some of the clues are hidden inside the best bits of the money show. So let's start. UDM leader Bantu Holomisa says the Public Investment Corporation's former chief executive Dan Majila should be investigated over allegations he did not declare the millions of rands he received from VBS Mutual Bank. Now, the PIC's auditors said they had not found any trace of the money being given to Majila. Arabile Gumede, who hosted the Money Show this week, he was standing in for Bruce. He spoke to Bantu Holomisa about this. He also asked him about these allegations and about advocate Terry Motau's VBS investigation.
I find it strange that advocate Terry Motau would not have picked up this loan when he was doing investigation of VBS. But be that as it may, it might as well be that that file was missing. If the Nexus inquiry proves really that Mr. Machila was given this 2.5 million. Because why I'm raising that is because Terry Motau pointed fingers to two directors of PIC who were serving at the VPS. And Machila and at the board showed those people the door. Why was he left behind?
Yeah, and I mean, those are, as you said, questions that the inquiry must certainly get to the bottom of. Your hope then from here on in, and the answers you're sort of looking for, what else are you hoping to get out of the inquiry from here on in, the answers you particularly want answered?
No, it's not about me personally, more than that. Mr. Machila, who is now under scrutiny at the inquiry, he needs to be given an opportunity to deny this or not deny or at least confirm if there was such a thing. And if it's true, then that means he has lied to the country, because he should have declared that.
And that was Bantu Holomisa speaking about Dan Majila and the PIC. Now, Douglas Stevenson, interim CEO of Cell C, spoke to us about what he and his team have done to the company since he took over as the head of the company 3 months ago. He also spoke about the company's relationship with the Blue Label Telecoms.
Well, currently with Blue, I mean, they did respond to my letter with their same announcement. So that response to the sent announcements, I think it is as far as I can talk tonight with regards to that. But they do remain the major distributor of our products, which is part of the reason Blue and us went into the synergy extraction.
Yeah, are you fearful at all of the business having run too hard, and that now that it's come to crunch time, the difficulties may be too much to handle?
Well, there's two ways you can look at it. You can say that we might have run too hard, or you can look at it and say, what have we learned from this, and what do we need to do? We're finding ourselves in a position that we really have to innovate and dig deep into understanding what our issues are and then what we need to do. And that was the basis of my letter. And it's all about the turnaround plan for Cell C. And that's the overarching message that I really have here, is to continue focusing on getting this business fit for purpose and right, to be able to compete properly in the market. And I believe we've been able to do that.
Yeah.
We've certainly, in the last 120 days, identified the issues And I think we're on the right road towards getting into that space. But it's definitely going to be a tough market out there. There's no question about that.
Yeah, so everything from a better network right through to a better company coming through certainly is what you're rolling out and promising to all stakeholders?
Pretty much. So I think that was a lot of the purpose of making sure that I set down the tone for where I wanted to take the business and move it forward and to try and take away a little bit of the cross rumors that may be floating around with Celsius, your opening statement about where Celsius had sort of come from in its history. It's been in the market for nearly 19 years now, and it now needs to take its place in getting itself sorted out and pushing towards a new future.
And that was Douglas Stevenson speaking there. Now, on the consumer feature with journalist Wendy Noller, they discussed the importance of monitoring one's credit card. Very important. She also shared some tips for this July savings month.
Pay money into the account that you're paying the most interest on. So it's not going to be your house, for example. To pay the money into your credit card or your store card. I don't recommend store cards, but if you have one, to shove the money in there so that you reduce the amount that you're paying in interest and ideally pay off those cards and get to the point where you have one credit card or maybe two, because the interest rate on the credit card is so much lower than on the store card, which many consumers don't realize because interest rates aren't openly discussed. All the nice goodies and benefits, but interest rates not very often discussed. So I think, yeah, pay into the account that you're paying the most interest on is a really good way of saving in the long term, you know, obviously interest, yeah.
And then Bulalani Balabala, founder of Township Entrepreneurs Alliance, was this week's shapeshifter. Now, he discussed the township economy and the idea behind the organization.
There's a set of challenges that township entrepreneurs come across that are over and beyond the ordinary challenges that an entrepreneur comes across. So over and above the fact that I'm trying to fight off getting the deal, competing with my competitors, I still need to fight with larger suppliers that keep blocking us or not even want to work with us because we are the only one in that specific space. I mean, I look at my business as a case study. We've had to change internet service providers about 5 times. Jeez. We've had to change couriers up until we got to a point where no courier could supply us even though we had paid them up front and still have their credits with us. Purely because the excuses, you are the only one. Service then becomes delayed because we are the only ones. Because our main thing was we wanted to demystify and shift the narrative. And the narrative that says that the only thing you go to or the only businesses you find in the township is a tavern, a spaza shop, a hair salon, a car wash and so on and so forth.
The stereotypes are really there. How do you break through that and continue to be persistent then? Because that's one thing, right? You have to literally say to yourself, sure, despite all of this, I'm going to keep on fighting.
You build where you are with what you have. And that's the message I preach. You preach everywhere I go, you build where you are with what you have. Because, you know, some of the biggest lies that have ever been told is that you need to come from family X, Y, and Z in order for you to make it. You need to come from educational background X, Y, and Z for you to be great. And you need to have resources, and those resources in the form of money for you to start. And I always tell entrepreneurs that, I mean, chances are if you need money to start, chances are you're not even an entrepreneur in the first place. Because, I mean, I relate to when I started. I mean, my back opposite neighbors were demolishing their house. I used those as table stands or tabletops. Oh, wow. Up the road, and I can mention the brand because they're no longer in business, there was a supermarket brand called Score. Yes, I went to the manager, I negotiated, they gave me all my crates, I used those as table stands. A friend of mine gave me a couple of rands, I bought my tablecloth, so on and so forth. A couple of people chipped in, my mother, my brother, the community, local churches and so on and so forth. Then I started.
And those are the best bits of The Money Show.
The Money Show.
The Brutal Biz Quiz.
Right, time for the Brutal Biz Quiz, and it's just for fun this evening, but I'm sure I'm going to stump you. You're not going to get through these questions. I've got a few questions here, and this is actually how it works. I'll ask you a series of questions, and you need to get them right. If you are the last person standing, then you get the title of King or Queen of the Money Show. I can't say brain, because that's kind of taken for another competition, but you get the title King or Queen of the Money Show. So, give me a call, 021-446-0567 or 011-883-0702. Let's see if you can get through all the different questions. Right, question number one.
In what science does a public enterprises minister, Pravin Gordhan, have a bachelor's degree? I'll give it to you again. In what science does public enterprises minister, Pravin Gordhan, have a bachelor's degree? 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567.
The Money Show.
The Brutal Biz Quiz.
Right, the Brutal Biz Quiz, this is how we play it. I'll ask you a series of questions. You need to get them right. If you do, and you're the last person standing, tonight, up for grabs, you'll be the king or queen of the Money Show. In fact, I will get Bruce to call you on Monday, Your Majesty. There you go. Simple as that. Question number one. In which science does Public Enterprises Minister Pravin Gordhan have a bachelor's degree? Let's go to Sipiwe. Hi, Sipiwe. Sipiwe, are you with us? Let's see if we can get Sipiwe on the line.
Yes.
There you go, Sipiwe. So the answer is, Sipiwe?
He's got a bachelor's degree in pharmacy.
He does indeed. Well done. Nicely done, Sipiwe. Yep, the University of KwaZulu-Natal confirmed this after the embattled minister's detractors spread a rumour on social media that he did not hold this qualification. Gordhan also received an honorary doctorate in 2003 and the Convocation Award in 2013 from the university. Right, Sipiwe, I think that you're going to go the whole way through. My money's on you. Question number two. Which listed company owns the largest stake in Cell C? I'll give it to you again. Which listed company owns the largest stake in Cell C, Sipiwe?
It's Blue Telecom.
It is. Yay! See, my money's on you. You're quite right. Shares in the Cell's major shareholder, that's Blue Label Telecom, Cell C, which holds 45% of its stock, plunged 9.74% after the interim CEO released an open letter addressing all the issues at Cell C, which they are facing. A bit of a difficult time there at the moment. Right, Sipiwe, come on. Question number three. Virgin Money is only used by three independent licensees worldwide. That's the United Kingdom, South Africa, and what's the third country? Virgin Money. Sipiwe? Yeah.
Australia?
Yeah, it is. Hey, I'm loving you. Okay, so Arabella spoke to the CEO, Andre Hugo, about the future of payment systems in this week's How It Works feature. That's Virgin Money. All right, you've got one or two more questions to go. Come on, Sipiwe. Which retailer first opened its doors on the 30th of October, 1931, in Plain Street, Cape Town, in the dining room of the former Royal Hotel? I'll give it to you again. Which retailer first opened its doors on the 30th of October, 1931, in Plain Street in Cape Town, in the dining room of the former Royal Hotel? Sipiwe? Oh, you come so far. Come. Take a guess. Retailer. You were saying? Say that again. Sipiwe?
Can you possibly give a clue?
No, it's the Brutal Biz Quiz. We can't give clues. We just can't. Okay, take a big guess. Big retailer.
I'll take a wild guess.
Go.
Woolworths.
Yeah, you got it right. That is the guess of the century. Wow, okay. My money definitely is on you. In fact, Sipiwe, I think after the money show, just go take a lotto ticket. You might win. Okay, the department store chain said yesterday it had turned around its fashion, beauty, and home business after fixing poor product choices in clothing, which had weighed on its sales the previous year. All right, she was. Okay, question number five. Oh, okay. Which company owns the Savannah Cider brand? Which company owns the Savannah Cider brand?
Savannah is under Brand House.
Is under who? Brand House, you say?
It's under Brand House.
That's what I'm looking for. Sipiwe, no, you were doing so well. No. No, it's not. So, we keep it open. Which company owns the Savannah Cider brand? Let's go to Vishal. Vishal, hi.
Vishal. It's AB InBev.
It's not. It's not. No, Vishal. I think I've got you stumped. I think I've got everybody stumped. Which company owns the Savannah Cider brand? And I can hear you Googling away. Come on, it's not too bad. Not too difficult. They've got quite a few. I'll give you a little bit of a clue, okay, because it's for everybody. They've got quite a few sort of brands underneath them. So which company owns the Savannah Cider brand. Let's try David. Hi, David.
Hi, Ray.
Hi, and the answer is?
Distel.
Distel, you're quite right, yeah. Andy Rice's hero for this week. Advertising Heroes and Zeros was for a TV ad for Savannah's non-alcoholic cider. All right, David, my money's back on you. So Peewee did very well, and so difficult for him, though, because right at the end, he had two questions to go. This will make you the king of the money show, David. It's a very easy one, actually. It's not so brutal for the brutal biz quiz. Who won South Africa's first season of Idols in 2002? David?
Would that be Heinz Winkler?
It would be. You are the king of the brutal this quiz. Congratulations. So what are you going to do with your imaginary crown? In other words, what are you up to this weekend?
Well, I think I'm going to buy my friends a round of drinks. Probably Savannah Drive and just go.
Oh, good man. Good man. Thank you, David. Have a great weekend. That's David. You see, it's easy. So, Peewee, I'm sorry you did so well. We'll call you the Prince of the Money Show. But, David, you are the king of this week's Money Show.
702 for the curious on 92.7 and 106 FM.
Right, let's wrap up the show with some of your SMSs. One says, Ray, we enjoyed the Brutal Biz Quiz, but what about the tennis? Okay, all right. Look, I think that Nadal has actually broken the serve of Roger Federer. He is up 3-1 in the second set. Federer, of course, taking that first set. That's a one love up to Federer at the moment. Of course, Buchli Marolini will have more for you on that in Sports Talk. Another SMS says, Ray, please explain Steinhoff to me. Okay, I'll do exactly that. Steinhoff today, they lost about $401 million. That was their half-year loss from continuing operations as the damage from their massive accounting scandal drags on. Another question says over here also as well, what about the share price? Why is it that today went up by 14% if they lost $400 million? The answer to that, though, is because they had a slight profit, a little bit of profit that came out, and instantly investors said, look, don't close the place. Look, you're making a profit. So hopefully, for the sake of those investors, things will work out quite different for them. Because they have invested, including the PIC, billions and billions of rands and dollars into that. And that wraps up the Money Show for the week. Bruce is back on Monday. It's 7 o'clock.